you have your Bibles, turn again to Mark chapter 8. Today, Mark chapter 8, looking at verses 13 through 21. We'll pick up a little bit there at verse 13. Then he left them. Remember from last week, he left the Pharisees. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it's because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes that fail to see and ears that fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Oh my. Oh my. Now as we begin this section here, this is that actually the ending of a segment in Mark's gospel that began back in chapter 4. It was in chapter 4 that Jesus first said, in fact, let's look there. You can just turn back a couple pages. And you saw there in verse 11 then, he was looking at, quoting Isaiah, and he said to them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So from there, we've gone through story after story, pictures of Jesus saying the kingdom of God, what it is, what it looks like, the attitudes, the behaviors. And we're seeing over and over again, just like he's showing here, those who are on the inside are not seeing or hearing. Those on the outside are seeing and hearing. We're seeing the disciples pictured in a horrible light over and over and over again. And it all comes to a peak here. It just seems like it's peak frustration on Jesus' part. And I think we can understand, right? I mean, we're looking at this thing going, guys, what is going on? They are shown in a very unflattering light here. The question that is asked here in verse 18, where he says, do you have ears, eyes that fail to see, and ears that fail to hear? Again, we're hearing the echoes from the Old Testament. That language we'll see in Jeremiah 5, or in Ezekiel 12:1, and of course in Isaiah 6, where we saw the quote from chapter 4. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 5, this is very interesting. Jeremiah is speaking against the presumption of the Israelites. It says like in verse 2 that they give pious platitudes to the Lord, but their hearts are not right. In verse 13, it says that they're ignoring the warnings that the prophets are giving them. That all they think high of themselves. The prophets say, no, your hearts are not right. You're saying one thing and doing another. There's hypocrisy here. And that is when we get to verse 21, where it says, you have eyes that won't see and ears that will not hear. So that's what we're looking at here, this bookend piece of this segment of Jesus' teaching. What the kingdom of God is and how it's just upside down and turned around from what we think it might be. Now the setting here is, of course, back on the boat. This will be the last time we'll see this theme. If you remember from last week, they had gone west across back into Jewish territories, had a confrontation with the Pharisees. And after that, then they hop back in the boat and they just scoot across a little bit from kind of the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee and then just up a little bit and to the east to Bethsaida. And that's where we see them going next. Now, the disciples, we see, apparently forgot the bread, right? So we saw there was 7 baskets left over. I don't know, was it laying around? Was this thing where, you know, Matthew says, hey, James, you get the bread? And James says, oh, I thought you got the bread. Nobody got the bread, whatever it was. They had one loaf. And so they're kind of, oh, man, we only got one loaf. They had their minds on food. They've been around Jesus' teaching all this time, seeing all these miracles. They're concerned about a loaf of bread. And we see that on this boat trip, and I think it's fascinating, Jesus was using it as an opportunity to teach. He's continually wanting them to understand. He's continually wanting them to learn, to open their eyes, to hear. And so he says, okay, I'm going to teach you something here. He says, be careful. Watch out. It's a strong admonition here. Don't let your guard down. Be aware. He says, watch out then for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. His two adversarial foils. Now, we see throughout the Bible that the idea of leaven or yeast is a common metaphor, often used in terms of like sin and how it spreads kind of thing. You know, we have these, you know, microorganisms that multiply and grow and then they burp and make gases and make your bread get big. All right? Now, there are times when it's used in a positive sense. In Matthew 13, he says, you know, the kingdom of God is like a bit of leaven that will go through whole dough. So we have that picture of God's kingdom spreading, okay? But most of the time, we see it in a kind of a negative light as that metaphor for how a little bit of sin or unrighteousness can get in and spread. Places like in 1 Corinthians 5 or Galatians 5. How sin can take root and spread out. Or if we allow an immoral person who claims to be a brother or sister remain without dealing with it, that'll spread. It infects the community. It's insidious. It can be quiet, but it goes. And this thing, yeast will do yeast, right? It's going to do what it's supposed to do. And so if you let it go, it's going to be a problem. This picture of yeast in the kingdom of God, we see it, of course, on the individual level. This idea of you know, not letting things get into your heart, practices, thoughts, attitudes. There's a caution there not to dabble or play around with things that you know you oughtn't play around with. The idea of, you know, who's influencing who, you know, in a culture. You know, I always tell my children, they go out, they're doing things, they say, I want you to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. All right? Don't be the temperature of those around you. You set the temperature. That's yeast. You get in there. You set the agenda of what you're going to do or do not do, what you say or not say. So as an individual, we have that influence around us. But most often, when you're considering yeast in this metaphor, it is in the context of a community. The nation of Israel, or the churches, and seeing just the insidious nature of how things can get into a church and spread and corrupt. Rumors, gossip, selfishness. And these things, they take root. If we let them in, they will contaminate and spread and get out of hand. So then we have to consider then what is this leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod? What is it that we're speaking of here? Well, it seems to me, on a couple different levels, there are things we consider here. We're speaking of this idea of leaven. We're talking about how the Pharisees and Herod, I think representing the religion, those who are the religious elites and the political side of things and how they operate with motives, attitudes, aims, behaviors that run counter to the kingdom of God. Counter to this picture of Jesus Christ is showing us that's cross-shaped, that's servant-oriented. That's very opposite of how the Pharisees and the Herod operated. In their spheres, they were concerned of self-preservation, self-protection, self-advancement, holding on to their power, holding on to their authority. You see a theme here, don't you? Self, 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 self. And Jesus' path in the kingdom of God is other, 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 other. And Jesus is telling his disciples, beware of this. Be careful of this kind of attitude. Be careful of these kind of motives and behaviors. Be careful that your goals, your ambitions are not turned in this sort of a direction. They did not see the value of doing good to others. They did not see the value of welcoming in outcasts, of going interacting with sinners, of taking those from the outside and bringing them in. They didn't celebrate when a demon-possessed person was freed or the value of a healing if it did not promote or advance their own causes. Their values are possessions and their position, protecting their turf, preserving their status, holding on to power. And just make note, 27th actually alliterated something, so I just got one in here. Rare it happens. But this is the idea that they are looking at themselves and holding on to things. And so when Jesus comes along and says this kingdom is coming, it is a threat. It is a threat to their order. It is a threat to their power. It is a threat to their status. It is a threat to their influence. So either they had to turn this Jesus to their ends, somehow get Jesus to approve of the way they did things, and therefore consolidate their power, or they had to get rid of him. And that is the yeast that Jesus is speaking of here. This is what we have to be aware of. This kind of orientation. This kind of a thinking. And the danger of how just a little bit of a turn in this direction can then spread and spoil. We look to power or influence or status, and maybe with some good intentions think we can apply these sorts of things to the advancement of God's kingdom. Beware that yeast. The kingdom of God does not function in that way. We have to watch out for it. And we see this, don't we? We see this in our churches. We see that in our politics around the world. We see churches who compete for market share in communities. We see believers, followers of Jesus, who would champion a particular doctrine or interpretation or a viewpoint and see the only way to move forward with their ideas is at the expense of others. Worship styles, whatever it may be, every generation has its thing. It's a yeast that can spread and cause great damage. Churches split apart over everything from carpet color to projectors to a view of the rapture, whatever it may be. That's a yeast. It's a danger. You have to watch for it. We see this, and we always have. I think every generation thinks theirs is the most intense, but What goes around comes back around. So we look at the United States or whatever nation it may be. We see everything from Rome, when Roman emperors became Christians, and how they used that to regain power. Christians thought, oh, if we can just get the emperor to be a Christian, then everything will be okay. Right? We'll get the good people in there, and then things will be right. And history tells us a much different story. I mean, in the world, I'm not surprised when I see worldly politicians act in worldly ways. It does not surprise me, wherever it may be, to see worldly people desire power, desire influence, desire status, and act accordingly. Now, sometimes you can see those impulses turned in good directions. You know, I think that was the intention of our government, the way our founding fathers set it up, was to try to curb our natural desires for power and influence. But boy, what do we see today? We see how people are just, instead of searching for the good, and whatever you may think that is, and however you think that may be done, instead of policies and actual legislation of things, and then I'm getting on my soapbox here a little bit. Okay, a little. But it just seems to me that the culture of our discourse in this country is not to debate points and right and wrong or the best. The strategy is to tear down, to call names. Just say I'm right and then don't, you know, don't give or talk anything about it. And again, I fear that that is the yeast that can infect the Christian. And to think that, oh, if we get Christians in power and office, then everything will be okay. If we can get Christians as leaders of our corporations or leaders of our schools or wherever it may be, then everything will be okay. Because then we'll have the power. Then we'll have the influence. Do you see? That is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Beware that. It cannot be about that. It is not that way in the kingdom of God. And so, when Jesus hears the disciples' reaction, when they hear this teaching, and seeing that they just do not understand what is going on, he says, open your eyes, guys. Unplug your ears. He's seeing the disciples who are hearing a spiritual lesson with worldly ears. Now, there's two misunderstandings I think the disciples have here. One is that they don't understand that Jesus is speaking parabolically, right? He's trying to understand a metaphor for understanding what the kingdom of God is. To see the shape, the function, the heart of the kingdom of God. That we're not looking at physical bread, we're looking at motivations, characteristics, attitudes, and behaviors. He wants his disciples to shake off these preconceived notions of what the kingdom of God is and who the Messiah is. To get away from this picture of a powerful king coming in to just mow down the enemies right there and establish this state of political influence and show them, no, this is about a cross shaped. This is about servanthood. This is about sacrifice. And they did not get us. They did not get it. And again, I understand. I always check myself when I want to get too hard on these disciples because we do the same sort of things, don't we? You know, we may, something as simple as, we want to communicate a salvation And then we narrow it down to an individual act of intellectual assent without actually asking someone to follow Jesus. We do that. We think about what it would be like if we had power or influence or status. Those are attractive things. We worry about our comfort. And so they didn't have the right ears to hear this message from Jesus. And the second misunderstanding they have here is they forgot about this feeding of the multitudes. How do you forget this? You know, I mean, we thought that this when Jesus did it the second time, right? How did you guys not remember this thing? And so Jesus is just astounded that they would worry. Didn't they understand that one loaf is more than enough? If you have Jesus in the boat with you, we don't have to worry about food. This is him saying, no, this is not the kingdom, guys. The kingdom is about plenty and flourishing and resources. It's there with me. There's plenty. And he says, don't you understand? Now, I have a ray of hope for here. And just remind us that the ones who are writing these words, the ones who reported the thick-headedness of the disciples, was the disciples. They look back. They eventually get it. And they look back. And they're just, I imagine, just embarrassed at their how blind they were. Whenever that happened for them. After Jesus rose and he came to them and they finally said, oh, there's hope. There's hope. There's hope for my thick-headedness. Okay, there's hope. There really is. So don't get down on the disciples and maybe on yourself. So, what is it Jesus would like us to take away, you think? I think a couple things. One, he's warning against just the hypocrisy of calling yourself a follower of Jesus and then having an attitude and behaviors and hearts that are opposed to what he's actually teaching. Right? I mean, we see that again. And I'll maybe beat a dead horse here, but the kingdom of God is cross-shaped. It's cross-shaped. It's selfless. It's servant-oriented. It's about love and compassion. And so anytime in our conversations, in our businesses, in our families, when we act in ways that seem unloving or uncompassionate, when we say words about people if we don't agree with that come across as mean or putting down, it's hypocrisy. And that's bad leaven. It's bad leaven. But we also see here in Jesus' response, and this is a message that I always need to hear. Trust God's provision. Trust it. The kingdom of God is about flourishing. That's what the church is about. There is enough there. Physically and spiritually. Right? We don't separate these things. You know, and remember that we have each other. I've been thinking a lot here. So, honestly, my last month at work was not a good one. You know, it was a struggle. Last month I didn't quite get where I wanted to be. Paychecks were a bit less. Balances after looking at paid bills was tight. You know, and then all of a sudden, you go, oh my gosh, we got school coming up. We got braces to pay for. We got school clothes. We got supplies. Gas has shot up again. All of a sudden, it's $75 to fill up my truck, and I'm using the tank, probably a tank and a half a week. And these pressures come on, and you get frustrated. And I forget this. I forget that Jesus took a loaf of bread and fed 5,000 people. And now I can say that, you know, I had a good week this last week. I am humbled. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. But even this morning, I asked myself a question. I was pondering this. I go, okay, Steve, that's great. What if you didn't have the week you had this week? What then? Are you still trusting? Do you have to have that big paycheck to understand God is who He is? If it didn't happen, could I have the humility to ask for help? That's hard. You know, for us, I think sometimes particularly us men, you know, in our desire to be providers, don't want to be seen as weak, don't want to be perceived as less than able, then I have to consider that hypocrisy. That when I'm thinking along those lines, that is a bad leaven. That if I let take hold of my heart, could spread to my family, I could raise boys who think they're islands, who don't need anybody else, who aren't willing to ask for help, or who would turn away from God if things don't work out the way we wanted to. These are the dangers we have to face. Trust Him in these things. We have to self-examine and consider, is there anger? You know, if I see something I don't like, is my response anger? And then I go, whoa, where'd that come from? Now, there's righteous anger. Okay, I'm just saying it. Well, be careful, folks. And if anger is your first mode of reaction, that's something to think about. Am I judgmental? Am I putting down? Am I not compassionate? Am I looking down on people? That is the consideration you must have. So, just to recap, it's not about a loaf of bread. All right? God will provide. He does provide. He can provide. And part of that is with each other. So I would just remind you to keep in mind your friends, your neighbors, your church members. I would ask you to put aside your pride if need be. If there's a need, let the kingdom of God be the kingdom of God. And I would remind us to live compassionately and lovingly and to be aware, to help each other. Families, you know, you guys know each other better than anybody as a family, right? If you see it, confront it. Get that yeast out right away. Root it out. Beware of it. And live in a way that's worthy of God's kingdom as it spreads. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes. Good God, I pray that you would unplug our ears. Lord, help us to not be arrogant, to not be hypocrites, but to humbly rejoice in your kingdom and act and speak in ways that are cross-shaped and servant-oriented. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray your and ask your blessing on this week. I pray, Lord, that as we come together even next week, that we would have testimony of your goodness in all these things we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today.